The Education and Training Show on Stray FM.
Welcome along then to this new look Education and Training Show with Harrogate College. Your career starts here at Harrogate College. My name's Tom. I'm taking you through this new look show. We've got loads to come this week on this podcast edition. We'll be hearing from a school in Wetherby who are planning for the big day that is Thursday the 3rd of March. If you don't know what that is, it's World Book Day. There's probably plenty of people been stressing about what the kids are going to wear to school for World Book Day. We'll hear about the plans for that from the school themselves. We'll also go to Harrogate College to find out about their Forest School courses. There's new courses launching in the summer term about taking learning outside the classroom and using the natural environment to maybe help those who maybe find a classroom environment a little bit stressful, a little bit difficult, not the best learning environment for them. Really exciting stuff. We try and create a bit of that outdoor atmosphere in the studio, so stay listening, find out how we do that. But first, Tuesday this week, the 1st of March, was a big day for the region's 10 and 11 year olds. Not just the region's, the whole country's 10 and 11 year olds found out which secondary school they'll be heading to in September. Now, it's a big stressful time, not just for parents, not just for students, but apparently also for the people that run the schools. So let's find out a little bit about that on the Education and Training Show.
The Education and Training Show on Stray FM.
So Tuesday was a massive day for the area's 10 and 11 year olds as they found out which secondary school they would be attending come September of this year. So this is something that happens every year, but for this year, the headlines were made due to a suspected lack of secondary school places across England. Here's Fergal Roach, a former head teacher from the organisation The Key, to tell us more about this suspected lack of places.
There is a major concern at the moment about a lack of space, a lack of budget, and a lack of the right number of teachers to actually provide for the number of pupils coming through the system. So we know that 880,000 additional children will be in the school sector by 2023 than there are today.
Probably not the news people wanted to hear as they waited for that email to hit their inbox and find out what school their child will be going to come September. And of course, the lack of places causes problems with schools and with parents. Here's Fergal with more.
Trying to plan for the future when you don't know whether or not you've got the right resources is putting huge pressure on the people running our schools. And that in turn is putting pressure on the parents who are wondering whether or not the schools are going to be able to provide for their own children.
But what was the experience like for real people in this area? So Sarah Barry has joined me in the studio. Sarah is the Managing Director of Stray FM. She's also our expert on Monday night's business news desk. But tonight we're not talking to Sarah about either of those things. We're talking to Sarah Barry, the mum.
My other job.
Yes. The job with even more hours.
Yeah, and less pay.
Yeah.
Far less pay.
In terms of money, maybe you could say you're paid with love.
I am. It's very rewarding, isn't it, being a parent?
Absolutely.
Most of the time.
Yes. So, Sarah, your twin girls
have
both just found out which secondary school they're going to go into. We're not going to find out just yet whether they got their first choice or anything, because I want to ask you first, what was it like in the build-up to finding out the results of their school selection?
Well, do you know, the build-up, it went on for months, actually, because I don't know if you're aware of this, but you fill out the form back in the summer, so it's sort of a good 6 months prior to finding out about which school they've actually got into, so it seemed like months ago. And that bit in itself was nerve-wracking because you're planning out, you're mapping out your children's future. And it's a big decision. That bit was quite nerve-wracking, but felt we'd made the right choice. And then a few months past Christmas, and then suddenly it's upon you. And you think, oh, what if they don't get into the school that we would like them to? And it's really quite nerve-wracking. So, yeah, it was starting to feel a little bit stressed about it and what are we going to do? What's the plan B? Should we appeal? And then you think, hang on a minute, we've got some fantastic schools around here.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's chill.
The great thing about the Harrogate District, of which you're a resident, is that the schools are generally fantastic. So we are in a lucky position in this area. Other people in other areas of the country, maybe not so much. Because it's not just the education that's important with the choice of schools. It actually affects your life in a wider way, because you've got to think about how your children will get to school, who's going to pick them up, whether they're going to need to get a bus or be able to walk. So it affects your life in a much wider way, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's not just about, as you say, getting from A to B is one thing, but when you talk to friends and colleagues about children of the same age, or, you know, they've already done this, it's about giving them sort of a sense of community and also a sense of independence, which is something I'm really struggling with anyway, because they're only just 11 years old. The thought at the moment of letting them have that freedom and jumping from a very safe environment, junior school, to knowing exactly where they are at any minute is a massive big deal, one that I can't describe until you get there yourself. And you'll get there eventually in a few years with your,
a good few years,
you've got a while to go. But it's a massive sort of independence that they are, hopefully, if they get into the school that is nearest to where we live, they can use the bus, they can walk to school, they can socialise after school and go to all the after school clubs. So clearly I want them to be involved in other levels. It's so important.
On Tuesday, you found out the results, and was it a good Tuesday?
It was a fantastic Tuesday, yeah. And we found out really early, which was nice. Kept checking the emails.
I did hear that across the office, because yourself and actually John in our sales team was in the same boat, because he's got an 11-year-old daughter as well.
Yes.
And I did hear very early in the day you'd both had the email.
Yeah, it was about 7:45 it came in. And it took some reading, actually. For those parents that get these emails, it's not, first choice. You have to work your way through all this jargon and language. And then you go to yourself, because husband had left for work at this point. Well, does that mean they've got in then? Am I being thick? But no, it was a really, really good Tuesday.
I can imagine that there is probably a lot in this, having not seen this email, imagine there's a lot in the email about how they do the selection and making sure it's all sort of above board and transparent what they do. Because I imagine the people at the council who have to do this selection process, they must get some feedback on it.
I feel for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're listening to this. I really do. It's just very official, very formal, very official, as it should be.
So when your girls came back from school yesterday,
yes,
how were they feeling?
Oh, they were jubilant, absolutely jubilant. It's funny because, I'm feeling the stress and the pressure and really hoping before it happened, obviously, jump for joy and you're shrieking, yeah, we've got in, that's great. They were really chilled, and it's not very cool to be excitable when you're 11 these days. However, got home from work and obviously we had a chat about how things were at school, how the friends were feeling and who's got in, who hasn't got in. And they were really pleased. Most of their friends have managed to get into the same school. They did have a lot of sympathy, though, for those that didn't, which was, they found that quite upsetting, that some of the friends, only a couple, haven't managed to get into their school.
Because there will be a lot of people, I'm sure, listening to this who didn't get their first choice school.
Absolutely, yeah.
There are only a small percentage, but that can be a really upsetting thing, I think, if you don't get your first choice. But I'm sure there are lots of ways to go through that. And as we were saying, often if you're going to have a great time at school, you're probably going to have a great time at school and make the best of it.
You will. I mean, the school that my children are in now wasn't our first choice, actually. They are in a school that was, I think we chose this second in place of the first choice. And at the time we were deliberating, do we appeal, don't we appeal? And then we thought, actually, no, it's a good school. Let's just go with it, see what happens. And it's turned out the best thing that we could have done.
Well, fantastic that your twins are going to their first choice school. I'm sure it'll be an experience for you and them over the next
an education
5-7 years. An education indeed. Thank you for joining me, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you to Sarah Barry for spending some time with me earlier on talking about secondary school places and good news that her kids got in. If you'd like to give us any information on what happened with your kids or the secondary school selection process, you can do. Get involved. Tweet us at StrayFM. You can also send us a message via the Stress Specialist Shows page on the StrayFM website. That is StrayFM.com. Right, let's go to Harrogate College now to find out more about the Forest School courses that are happening there starting in the summer.
Harrogate College on Stray FM's Education and Training Show. So a forest school is very much as it sounds. It's about taking children into the outdoor environment. It doesn't have to be a forest. It doesn't have to be an enormous woodland. Just a wild area, a few trees is enough. And the whole idea is to re-engage children with the outdoor environment, get children out, get them active again. We all know that there is a huge rise in obesity in children, that weight is becoming a problem, and forest school is a good way of re-engaging children with the excitement of being outside. The other thing about forest school is that it's a really good learning environment for children, and for many children, being in four walls and having to sit still is not conducive to the way that they are able to learn. And to be able to be out and mobile and free is a different way of learning, and it's a way of learning that suits a vast majority of children. So it would be really good to investigate how we can take learning outdoors, and that's what forest school is all about.
Fantastic. It sounds like a great idea. What we've tried to do while we're talking here is trying to recreate some of the atmosphere, some of the sounds you might hear in a forest school if you were having a sort of classroom outside. So yeah, if an owl swoops over or there's some wind rustling, that's exactly why we're trying to kind of recreate that feeling here. So at Harrogate College you offer courses in forest schools. What kind of courses can you do, and who would they be suitable for?
At the moment, we are going to launch with the level 2. You can do a level 1, a level 2 and a level 3 in forest school. Our target audience at the moment really would be people who have some experience of working with children and really want to investigate how to get children outdoors and how to use their outdoor areas more productively. It is predominantly perhaps for early years workers, but also schools are becoming increasingly interested in the forest school ethos and using the outdoor area as a new an extension to the classroom. But it's also very useful for people who work in youth work. Getting young people back outside, there is a great deal that young people can use during forest school activities, which I can explain a little further. And it's also very good perhaps for people who work with people who have disabilities, just getting them out into nature, because sometimes you feel that you can't take them out into a woodland or a wilder environment, and in actual fact you can.
For somebody who's coming to maybe enrol on this level 2 course, what sort of activities and things might they cover during the course?
The first thing we will do is look at forest school from a theory perspective. You know, what is it about forest school that meets learning and development in anybody? And it can be an adult as well as a child. But the bulk of it will be literally getting out there. We will spend a lot of time outside. You'll learn how to use tools, so things like bow saws and bush knives. And I can imagine that everybody's going, "What, with a 3-year-old?" But actually, yes, they can.
Well, I heard this actually. I was talking to a teacher recently who said that you are being encouraged now to get children, even at a very young age, to use real tools,
yeah. And that's what forest school does. These are real tools, and they're not child sized tools either, they're adult sized tools.
Wow.
That children are more than capable of using with the right instruction and obviously the right safety. But children love it, and they do some incredible things, lighting fires, cooking on a fire, building a shelter.
Wow.
You know, doing all of these things, teamwork.
It does sound like something that, you know, you mentioned this in passing to someone who maybe has never heard of this before. In my head, I'm kind of going, really? Wow, oh no. But it does sound like something that children would love, because how often do we see children copying an adult and what an adult does? And for them to be able to do that in a safe way and to be able to use the same tools that an adult would use must be a thrilling opportunity for them.
Oh, it is. And you can see they are so engaged in what they're doing. But it teaches them a great deal around risk, challenge. And although we keep the children safe, and there are some very strict protocols around the way they are taught to use tools, the safety around tools and fire, it's also an opportunity to use those things. The rate of burns is quite high sometimes in children of a given age group. Yes. And it's because fire is fascinating and we don't have it in the home like we used to. Sometimes the only time a child will come across real fire is maybe bonfire night. And you get to an age where you start to experiment. And forest school means you can experiment safely whilst learning the dangers, the uses, but the consequences.
Absolutely, because sometimes when you are being told, you know, the age-old thing of don't play with matches, I remember being taught that when I was 3 or 4 years old, but it does kind of make you want to.
Yeah.
So this kind of gives you a structure in which to do that, doesn't it? And be supervised and be safe, rather than it being a just don't do it because I told you not to. That's a brilliant, sounds like a great thing.
Yeah, and forest school is about, yes, you can do it, but you need to think about this, and we need to perhaps do it safely, and this is the way we do it, and then it's safe. We are going to be doing the level two. It will be starting on the 7th of April. We have an open evening on Thursday the 10th of March at college between 5 and 8pm. So if anybody would like to come along and discuss it further, and anybody can come. You don't even have to formally work with children. If you're a parent out there thinking, wow, I remember playing in the woods, I'd love to do that with my child, but safely, parents, grandparents, anybody can come along. Youth workers, brownies, cubs and scouts, you know, they may have people who would like to investigate that a little bit further.
Harrogate College on Stray FM's Education and Training Show.
And if you want to find out more about the Forest School courses at Harrogate College, head to their website, harrogate.ac.uk, and you can find out everything you need to know. They've also got an open evening event happening on Thursday the 10th of March, and you can find out all the information you need on that very same website, harrogate.ac.uk. My name's Tom. This is the Education and Training Show. And for the final part of this evening's show, we need to focus on the big event that is Thursday the 3rd of March. If you're not aware, it is World Book Day, a celebration of books all around the world. And it might remember this as the day if you went to school over the last 15 years, maybe, the day where you got a little voucher to take home and go and buy yourself a little book with it. Still done, still happens. And we wanted to find out what was going on in the area on World Book Day. So Lisa North spoke to somebody from a school in Wetherby.
I'm Ben Williams here at Wetherby St James Primary School. I'm an assistant head. We try to foster a love for reading at the school. We have a range of different ways that we do that. We've developed our reading areas in the classroom. We've got things like rainforests and garden areas and things like this that all incorporate the love for reading. And we try and read as much as we can in school. And World Book Day is just one of those days that we get to celebrate books and the love for reading. Last year we had a fantastic day. We all dressed up. There were things like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. We had The Worst Witch. We had Oliver Twist. We even had our own set of Oompa Loompas and Cruella de Vil. And so hopefully this year we're hoping to do one better than that. We're having another fancy dress day. We've also got another challenge for the children this year where they've been taking pictures of an interesting place they've read. We've got children that are on top of statues, we've got children that have actually gone into a fighter jet at the Air Museum to have a little read. So just getting the kids wanting to enjoy books a little bit more. We've also got the parents are actually coming in to school this time and they're going to read their own favourite children's book. We've got a storyteller that's coming in as well and he's going to read some stories to the children, but also the children get the opportunity to go into other classrooms as well and read. We do that every week, but it's just making it a bit more special because we'll all be dressed up with us in his favourite characters, and it sounds like it's going to be a really fantastic day yet again.
Hopefully tonight there won't be too many mums and dads last minute panicking, thinking, oh no, what am I going to dress my kid in? Do you sometimes get that, you know, that there's a bit of a scramble for outfits?
I think now, because so many shops have really, I think they've got onto the idea that it's another day to make money. But we try and much, in school, we try to really push the idea that it's making your own, as you used to when we were little. There's that kind of go out into your cupboards and make something. I know that even myself, I'm coming as a tin man tomorrow, so tonight it's going to be glue gun and tin foil making with a bit of cardboard. So it's that giving to the children, don't just go out and buy something, really think about the character you've come as, and really we have a competition with who's the best, but we look into that and kind of say to the children, right, why have you come dressed as an Oompa Loompa? Or why have you come dressed as Willy Wonka?
What are your predictions for some of the outfits? What are some of the more popular characters? But off the top of my head, I'm thinking like Willy Wonka, you mentioned maybe Harry. I think there'll be a few Harry Potters.
Yeah, the Roald Dahl's always a winner, really. I think more with the parents as well, because they can remember the Roald Dahl. But the children love, to say how old some of the Roald Dahl books are, the children really do love Roald Dahl as a character. So David Walliams is always a big seller. But really the traditional books as well, a lot of the children really celebrate those because they are the books they enjoy and they celebrate. But we have a range of characters, really. We never really have the same character that will come to school. You get a different impression of the child of what they enjoy as books and what type of genres they have. And more we're getting non-fiction characters as well. So we try to celebrate that as much. And I know there's a girl in my class who is coming dressed as Queen Victoria, and she's coming as, because Horrible Histories is one of her favourite types of book. And we celebrate that as well. It's not just the old-fashioned fictional characters, but really a range of texts. And that's that love for reading that we try and foster in school.
Right, that about sums up the Education and Training Show podcast for this week with Harrogate College. Your career starts here at Harrogate College. My name's Tom. If you want to listen again to anything that we've had this evening from Harrogate College, from the school in Wetherby ahead of World Book Day, and from Sarah Barry, the Stray FM MD, about secondary school places and the stress that is finding out where your children will be going to secondary school in September, you can listen again to the show. Of course, you can download it to keep it. You found it on this very specialist show page on the website. The next show will be up next week. And while you're here, why not take advantage of some of the other specialist shows from Stray FM? The Food and Drink Show on a Thursday, the Stray Living Show on a Friday, Monday's Business Hub, and of course Tuesday's Health and Wellbeing Show are all available for you to listen to at any time on the specialist show pages of StrayFM.com. There'll be more education and training next week.